Hi folks, Joe Stagner from Microsoft here with video number 8 in this video series on building ASP.NET web applications using Microsoft Visual Web Developer. In this video and the following video, I'm going to discuss scoped state. So application and session level events, event handlers, and state objects. And I'm just going to break them down into two videos just to keep the videos in this series topically atomic. But application and session level events and variables are very closely related. But in order to understand them, we first have to understand the concept of scope as it pertains to software development. And I actually find describing scope to folks that aren't already familiar with the concept to be a little bit difficult, but I'm going to take a stab at it. By my definition, there are two aspects to scope in software development. One can be thought of as geographical, and the other can be thought of as chronological. The geographical aspect means that a given element in our software code is visible to certain other areas of our code and not visible to yet other areas of our code. So a great example of this is if you've ever created a class definition, and let's suppose inside a class definition or a user-defined type, let's suppose that we create an integer variable and we specify that the scope for that integer variable is private. When we create, so that's a private integer object that lives inside a class that we've written. So later on in our code, we create an instance of that class object, and inside that instance is an instance of that integer variable. We can access that integer variable from the code that runs the methods that run inside our object because it was scoped as private. But if we have a different object, the method code running in that other object can't access our integer because we specified that the scope was private. So the geographic territory in our code that that object is accessible from is limited to the code that's inside that class definition. The other aspect is chronological, and that has to do with how long that object lives and is accessible inside our code. So for example, using that same class hierarchy that we just talked about, if we have that integer object inside a class, when we create an instance of that class, the way that .NET works, and this is different with different runtimes, but the way that .NET works is that that object instance stays active in memory until there is no other code in our application that's accessing that object. And once that happens, then it's marked by the .NET runtime as collectible by the garbage collector. So when it's in memory, and it's being accessed, there's a reference to that somewhere else in our code, that is the chronological scope. That's its time to live for as long as it's being referenced in some other part of our code. Once it's no longer referenced by any part of our code, it's marked for collection, even though the memory probably still exists for a little while because .NET uses a two-pass garbage collector. It's marked as collectible, and therefore it's out of scope. It's no longer an accessible object in our .NET code. So that's the idea of scope, where something lives and can be accessed and how long it lives and can be accessed. So in this video, we're going to take a look at the application level objects, because sometimes we need to work with things that are accessible from a broader range than just our code, or that live longer than just the piece of code that we're working on. So we're going to start by looking at application level events, event handlers, and variables. And in order to do that, we have to add a new file to our solution. So let's go ahead and do that now. So here we have an empty ASP.NET application, just the default.aspx page. And what I need to do is I need to add a global.asax file, and you'll see why as soon as we do that. So I'm going to right click on my project, choose Add New Item, go over to Global Application class. You notice that the name is global.asax, and I'm going to go ahead and add that. Note what we get here, that we get three application event handlers and two session event handlers. Now, one distinction in these global event handlers is that you'll notice that there's no handles specifier, and that's not necessary because these are globally innate to ASP.NET, so you don't have to specifically say what events they handle. These are named so that they are auto-wired by the runtime. Note at the application level, and again, in the next video we'll get to the session level ones, but in the application level we have three event handlers for the various application level events. We have an application start an application end and an application error, right? So application start fires when your application, which is not yet running, is initialized for the first time. So you have an application that's deployed in production, but it's not running yet because no user has made a request for an endpoint, probably an ASPX page, that lives inside that application. So it's not consuming memory or other systems resources. The first time a URL request is made to an endpoint that's inside that application, IIS will pass that request off to ASP.NET, and ASP.NET runtime will initiate this application, and that's when the application start event gets fired, and therefore this event handler gets fired. Conversely, when an application is removed from memory, when an application comes to its end, the application end event is fired, and therefore the application underscore event end event handler will be executed. Now, you might ask, how does an application get ended? And generally, how that works is that there is a timeout period, and during that timeout period, an application will stay active in memory without servicing any requests. And when that timeout period has expired, with no requests being made to any endpoint inside that application, then the runtime will understand that, hey, we've gone 15 minutes, I think is the default, without a request for any resource in this application. Let's go ahead and remove it. We can fire it up again if a request comes in later. But we don't want to consume system resources for an application that's not being used. So when the runtime makes that determination, the end event fires, and therefore the application end event handler gets executed. There's another really interesting one, and we'll cover this when we get to troubleshooting. I'll do a troubleshooting video subsequent to these. And this is the global application error handler. So all good programmers should be doing error handling in their code, but we've all seen this in a production application where something slips through our development QA process and there is an unhandled exception. And on our development machines, we get this dump with a call stack, etc. We never want that to happen in the production environment. So this is a place where you can implement a event handler to handle any previously unhandled errors anywhere in our application. So if any code anywhere in our application generates an error that we don't catch someplace, it'll be handled here. So what kind of things might we use this for? Well, so we might use this to do anything that we need to prepare the application for execution. So we could do things like, you know, if we're doing some dynamics, anything that has to do with dynamics for data relative to the entire application. If we want to find out, for example, we have a big web farm, maybe we have a geographic distribution, and we want to find out which web farm center, East Coast or West Coast, this application is being started in, we might do a query there. Or we might just want to track some information at the application level. And to do that, we can create a variable here in our application start event. And to do that, we're going to create an application level variable. So to do that, I start with application, and then I give it a name, and this works like a dictionary object, so I'm going to give it the name as a string, app hit count. So maybe what I want to do is I want to keep track of every page hit that this application receives. So I code application, and then in parens in as a text string the name of the application variable that I want to create and program against, and then just to be a good citizen, I will set a default value, and we're going to set it equal to 0. Now I can access this from anywhere inside my application. So for example, let's suppose I want to do a little work here. First thing I want to do is let's go into our code behind. Actually, let's go back to the UI design view, double click on the page and generate a page load event. And then here we're going to say application And let's use the magic of cut and paste to make sure that I don't create any spelling errors. And now I can, oops. Increment this. So I will say make the app hit count application variable, whatever it is, plus 1. And of course, now we're going to want to display this someplace. So let's go back to design view and just drop a label in there. And back in our code behind, let's say label1.text equal whatever the hit count is. So let's go ahead and run this. And as you can imagine, this is the first hit, so the count should be 1, and it is. I'm going to hop back over here, and in this label box, let's do a couple of things. I'm going to cheat here just for your benefit. So I'm going to say, let's center this. Let's push it down the page a little bit. And let's add a little description. All right, now let's run this again. And you can see app hit count equal 2 because it stayed in memory in between requests because my Cassini web server stayed running. Refresh, hit count 3, refresh. What if I open up another browser? Let's grab that URL, open up another browser. So this sort of simulates some other user. Let's use some other browser, not Internet Explorer. Let's go ahead and hit that. Note, app count 5, 6, 7. Let's try yet even a lesser known browser. Right. And the reason I'm doing different browsers is that this simulates different users coming from different places. Each browser keeps its state information separately. So understand that to the user, this looks like it's perhaps coming even from a different machine or certainly a different user. But the storage is local to the application. So here you can see we start with hit count 8, 9, 10. If we go back to Internet Explorer and cycle again, notice it goes from 4 to 11. So that demonstrates that we're keeping this data at the application level, and this application variable is shared across all of the code that's running in our application and across all of the users that are accessing our application. Right? So that's how you can use application level events and application level variables. And in the next short video, I'll show you how to compare using session level events and variables with application level events and variables. Thank you.